Imagine a renewable energy standard of 30%. Now imagine it within the next 20 years. Governor Snyder last week issued a report that says the state is well positioned to do exactly that. Furthermore, energy efficiency efforts are paying off in a big way right now and will further help in Michigan's long-term energy plan. Given this new information, it's time for an update and look forward on Michigan's energy strategy. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and you're listening to 89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. The first Friday of every month, we take 20 minutes to explore an issue of environmental importance. For each of these First Friday segments on WEMU, my co-host is Lisa Wozniak. Lisa is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And Lisa, good morning.
Good morning, David.
And our guest today.
I'm very, very pleased to welcome to the show Dan Scripps. Dan is currently the president of the Michigan Energy Innovation Business Council and also a former state representative from one of the most beautiful parts of our magnificent state, Ludington, to the tip of the Leelanau Peninsula. And while in the state legislature, Dan authored Michigan's Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Revolving Loan Fund. Dan heads up efforts to convene Michigan businesses now around opportunities to advance clean energy in our state. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thanks, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Thanks for being here.
Dan, as an expert on energy issues, which you very much are, notably within Michigan's burgeoning clean energy economy, let's start with an assessment of where we find ourselves today. Our state's current renewable energy standard is 10% by 2015. Are we on track to meet that goal?
We are. Both of the major investor-owned utilities, Consumers Energy and DTE Energy, are actually ahead of schedule, and all of the utilities across the state are on pace to meet the standard. What's been really interesting is that they've been doing it at a fraction of the cost that was expected when the 2008 law came into being. And in fact, Consumers Energy recently eliminated their renewable energy surcharge. So they're doing this at no additional cost to ratepayers, ahead of schedule. And we've seen really in the 7 years since the standard came into being, we've seen some really dramatic increases in technology and decreases in cost, and both of which are really helping the utilities to meet the standard ahead of schedule and at below cost.
The report that the governor's administration released, a 90-page report, says there are no technical problems to increasing the standard to as much as 30% by 2035. Technical problems do not include political problems. Do you see political barriers to setting the 30% standard as a legislative mandate?
Well, you know, any time that you're going in and doing an issue as big as energy, there are obviously a lot of hurdles that you have to get past. And you've seen some ideological issues coming to the fore in the last couple of years, where energy has never previously been a partisan issue. We're seeing a bit more of that today. But the good news on that is that there are an awful lot of businesses who are making money on this, that we've seen $2 billion of direct investment over the last couple of years directly as a result of the renewable standard. And so you've got more and more people who have a stake in the process who are coming forward and saying, this is good for me, this is good for my business.
So what happens, Dan, if our current 10% by 2015 standards as set in 2008 expire, which will happen in 2015?
Well, we're seeing the same sort of uncertainty already in terms of what the future holds that we saw at the federal level, at the national level, with the proposed expiration of the production tax credit, for example, in the wind industry. And that is that people who are making investment decisions today need certainty in terms of what the future looks like for the industry. Having a commitment that we're going to go above and beyond 10%, and in fact meeting what the governor's laid out or what the governor's team has laid out and saying that we can get to 30% without any technical issues, within cost caps, et cetera, provides the certainty that they can make those investment decisions today. Without that certainty, you know, I think that you'll see some continued development because costs are declining, because technology is improving, but you won't see nearly the same level as with the certainty of a standard in place.
And what are the companies with whom you work hoping to see out of this four-report release process and the governor's next steps on this?
Well, it's interesting because I think we talk a lot about renewable energy and we think there's a huge upside there, but energy efficiency is the other side of the same coin. And we've actually seen really significant cost savings to ratepayers as a result of our state energy efficiency program. We're saving $500 million a year as a result of simply using less energy. And that is that's net. That's after all the investment and everything else. And we see that on a going forward basis, $500 million a year in savings to ratepayers across the state of Michigan. That's money that they can use for other things. That's money that they can use to help grow the economy.
One would also assume that in new development standards, it's going to be required and we're going to see those efficiencies pay forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is once you save it, you don't go back.
And clean energy companies are seeing this obviously as a way toward the future. They're invested in it, they're involved in it, you're working with them every day. Does this include our state's two major utilities?
Well, our two major utilities, because of the structure of the law, are actually our largest developers of renewable energy in the state. And so they have they've done this because in some ways they were required to, but they're also making money as a result of it. And so I would expect and I would certainly hope that the utilities would be engaged in this process and see this as something that where we can all benefit. When they make those investments, when they're putting in wind parks or when they're investing in their solar programs, they're actually making money on those investments. And that's good for them. It's good for all of us.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and you're listening to our First Friday Focus on the Environment. My co-host is Lisa Wozniak, who is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. We're talking about energy efficiency, renewable energy standards, and the state of Michigan's energy strategy. Our guest today is Dan Scripps, and Dan is a former State House member and currently leads the Michigan Energy Innovation Business Council. So moving forward, Dan, in your estimation, is it going to have to be, as President Obama termed it, an all-of-the-above energy state, coal, natural gas, nuclear, renewables?
Well, I think it's interesting to raise the issue because Michigan has certain advantages and certain disadvantages. We don't have any of our own coal. We export 100% of the coal that we bring in into this state. And we do have some natural gas, about 20% of our needs. And so we can get some of that from inside the state, but we still have to import 80% of that. When you're talking about sun, when you're talking about wind, when you're talking about saving energy, we can do that ourselves. And what we're seeing is that those investments are paying off. We did a report last year that showed that manufacturing related to renewable energy, to energy storage, equates to about $4.9 billion in annual economic activity for the state of Michigan. A separate report shows $2.3 billion in manufacturing related to energy efficiency products and services. That's a $7.2 billion impact for Michigan. We don't export any of that money. That stays right here in the state. And that's a dramatic difference. Distinction between our current energy mix.
How does that extrapolate out if we look at the potential of a 30% renewable standard by 2035?
Well, one of the things, and we've all seen the turbine towers, for example, on the roads, they're huge, and it doesn't make sense to make them in one part of the world and ship them to someplace else. I mean, we do a lot of exporting. I hope that we're doing more. But having a homegrown market, having that local demand, means more opportunities for local manufacturers. And that's something that's key to the businesses that we help to organize and work with.
I think you've answered this in part, but let me push a little bit on this. I mean, we hear people say all the time, if clean energy is really indeed cheaper than anything else, why do we need laws to encourage us to use it and to go there? How do you respond to those questions?
You know, that's a great question, and I think it points to the difference between the energy markets and the traditional markets as we understand them. Energy is a highly, highly regulated market in Michigan and everywhere across the country. We've got the Public Service Commission that has to approve virtually every decision that our utilities make. And unlike in other sectors where you've got potentially thousands or even millions of purchasers, in Michigan, you're primarily dealing with two, DTE Energy and consumers. And as a result of that, you need in the same way that the government has set up the whole system and all the rules of how the system operates, having them say that a certain percentage needs to come from renewable sources is actually consistent with that, where it doesn't, and that's a major difference between other parts of the economy.
And now we have to look at that relationship between federal government, state government, and what role, if any, local municipalities and local governments get to play in the energy policy moving forward. Are we lacking at the federal level? Are we being held back in Michigan by a lack of federal progress?
Well, it'd be nice if we had an energy plan for the country, and we really haven't since the Ford administration. I mean, in the wake of the oil shortages and the crisis in the early 70s, we developed the Department of Energy. We developed a number of other mechanisms, and we really had what amounted to a national energy plan. We do that to some extent through the tax code today, and to some extent through the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which has been looking at things like reliability, open access to energy markets, and that sort of thing across the country. But it doesn't reflect a coordinated, bought-in strategy, and I think that you need Congress to do that. And obviously, we haven't gotten that out of this Congress.
So as we watch and listen to the rollout of these reports coming out of the governor's office, we see a lot of opportunity in energy efficiency, renewable energy, and yet, as David pointed out earlier, we may have challenges in the legislature in moving something forward. If there's not an appetite in the legislature for doing this, what are the other means by which we can actually move a clean energy program forward in this state?
Well, there are a couple places. The first is in the Public Service Commission. When the utilities are making large investment decisions, they need to go through a planning process to get a stamp of approval, essentially, from the Michigan Public Service Commission. And being engaged in that process, pushing for a more thorough review of all the issues involved, including, you know, what's the risk? What are the commodity risks on this? We know what solar is going to cost 10 years from now. Still going to be free as long as the sun's shining. We have no idea, really, what natural gas prices are going to be or coal prices, but we know there's volatility. So adding that into the decision-making, what role can energy efficiency play? Are there larger cost savings that could be achieved? So the Public Service Commission is one part of it. The other part is looking at what are the other pieces that are on the table. I mean, we've got currently a 30% tax credit at the federal level for solar installations. That expires at the end of 2016, and there's talk at the federal level of expanding that. But we'd be foolish if we didn't accelerate our solar deployment to take advantage of that. Other states are doing that. And being able to move in that direction to make sure that Michigan is getting as much of that rebate as we possibly can, it makes much more sense to deploy, if you were going to deploy the same amount of solar over 10 years, to do it all in the next 3 years where we can take advantage of that credit, as opposed to phasing it in step by step or gradually over the next 10 years.
So right now, what is the breakdown of renewable energies to this point? If we're just about that 10% renewable standard, what portion is solar, what portion is wind?
The overwhelming percentage is wind, and that's because you've seen just incredible price declines, and because from a utility perspective, when you're adding the resource, it's the easiest to do. That solar works better. You can certainly do utility-scale solar, and a lot of companies do, but in some ways it's perfectly suited for distributed generation, where everybody's putting it
on
their
house. And
the
prices are coming down on solar installation.
Absolutely. And we think that absent even Michigan incentives, that will be cost competitive in the next 18 months. But wind, for example, just to take two data points, in the recent filing for the new 700-megawatt gas plant that Consumers is proposing to build in Genesee County, they're estimating that the cost from that will be 8.6 cents per kilowatt hour. The most recent wind contracts signed, executed agreements over the next 20 years, are at 4.7 cents. So we're almost half the cost of even natural gas, and the estimates in terms of what a new coal plant, for example, would cost are again, 50% higher than that. So,
and what about the cost of the proposed Fermi 3 nuclear power plant that DTE would like right on the shores of Lake Erie there? We're talking a multi-billion dollar project and perhaps up to 20 years just to get it operational.
Yeah, and we're seeing...
Wouldn't that investment be...
Absolutely.
Better utilized elsewhere?
No, and we haven't built new nuclear in this country in about 30 years, and the cost overruns for the plant that's being built in Georgia are just incredible. So, you know, I think that when you look at an all of the above strategy, we should probably be, you know, at least allowing for these technologies to be considered. But from a cost perspective, renewables, you know, the trend lines are going sharply down, and we're already cost competitive in wind and in solar.
Well, all of this looking forward and what we could and what we should do is great. Governor Snyder is expected to give his annual energy report in December, at which time he's expected to lay out his legislative policy recommendations. I hear that may get put off till the state of the state address. What have you heard on that, and what might we expect from the governor?
Well, I think that some of the reports actually point a pretty clear picture of what to expect. When you're saying that it's technically feasible to go at an increase of 1% per year up to 30%, no technical issues within cost caps, I'd be surprised if you didn't see that out of the governor's recommendation on the renewable side. on the energy efficiency side, he's stated a number of times that he's in favor of more energy efficiency in the state. The report that was issued, the draft report, clearly highlights the economic benefits of that. So I'd be surprised if there wasn't some pretty ambitious plans to expand our energy efficiency usage in the state as well.
You are listening to First Friday Focus on the Environment on WEMU. I'm David Fair, sitting alongside my co-host for this monthly segment. Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Our guest for this conversation on energy efficiency, renewable energy standards, and Michigan's energy strategy is Dan Scripps. Dan is a former State House member and currently leads the Michigan Energy Innovation Business Council.
As we look ahead, and as we look at Michigan as compared to states all over this country, where do we find ourselves? Where it's a 10% by 2015 standard right now. We're considering these potential huge steps forward, but we have a legislature that perhaps isn't as enthusiastic about this as we'd like them to be. How do we compare to other states, and where will we find ourselves if we don't take these steps forward?
Well, there are about 30 states right now that have these renewable energy standards. All but two of them are higher than 10%. Michigan is one of the two lowest in the country already. And so we've got an opportunity. I mean, we've got in 2008 when we passed this law, we weren't exactly sure. We were, you know, we weren't the first to be sure, but we hadn't seen this issue play out in as many states. Well, we've got our own experience now, and we also can compare ourselves to 30 other states. And in our own experience and in every other state, we've been able to meet the targets. There's been no decrease in reliability. We've actually seen increases in reliability as a result of the transmission build-out that renewables, integrating renewables requires. And all of it's come in under cost. And so, you know, having 7 years of experience, being able to look at the data from Michigan, I think, you know, the answer here is clear that in some ways this is the least costly option, especially when paired with energy efficiency. It's the most dramatic economic benefit for the state because we're not exporting those energy costs to other states. We're putting people to work right here in Michigan, and we're benefiting ratepayers and energy consumers across the state. So, you know, the data's there, not going forward with this, knowing what we know now and knowing how things have changed in the 7 years since the standard was initially introduced, I think would be a huge mistake.
How much fossil fuel money from companies outside of the state of Michigan, how much of that money is coming in the lobbying efforts to oppose moving this forward?
Well, I don't have those numbers at the front of mind, but I can certainly say that they're well represented in the legislature. And one of the things that we need to do as an advanced energy industry is to make sure that our elected officials are hearing directly from companies in Michigan, based in Michigan, headquartered in Michigan, that are finding economic opportunities as a result of our focus on advanced energy, and explain, you know, that the more we do, the more benefit there is to our communities, to taxpayers, and to the people of Michigan as a whole.
And despite the growth, you don't have the kind of money to throw at it that the fossil fuel industry does. So does it come down to that old adage, you know, money talks and walks?
Well, hopefully we do have the facts on our side, and I think that counts for something. So we need to tell our story and make sure that as legislators are considering this process, that they're really looking at the facts on the ground. And I'll give credit to the governor on this. After the issue that was raised on the ballot a year ago, it would have been easy to walk away. And instead, he said, let's take a year and study this. Let's take a data-driven approach to this. And the result is, at least what we've seen in the initial reports, is that we've got a great story to tell, that there is real benefit to ratepayers and to the state as a whole as a result of our investment in renewable energy.
Our time together is just about out, but what is the story we're going to be telling 12 months from right now?
Oh, I think that's, you know, I think that's all to be decided. But one version is that we missed the opportunity, that we had the facts, that we knew the data, and that we chose not to do anything. I hope that's not the story that we're telling, because if we tell a different story that says, let's build on our success to this point, I think that's good for Michigan. I think it's good for all of us.
Thank you so much for your time. I'm very grateful.
Thank you.
That is Dan Scripps. Dan is a former State House member and currently leads the Michigan Energy Innovation Business Council. Another thanks goes to my co-host for this segment, Lisa Wozniak. Lisa is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Lisa, we'll see you in December.
I look forward to it, David, and thank you, Dan, for being here.
Thanks.
I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to First Friday Focus on the Environment. It's heard exclusively right here on 89.1 WEMU.